Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode. I've been doing some serious traveling here in China. I was in Chengdu last weekend for a startup weekend and back to Shenzhen for just one day with my Chinese family and newborn baby. And now I'm currently recording this from Shanghai, China. I've been here for some conferences, some meetups, and again, another startup weekend back to back here. Pretty exhausting. And, you know, I'll be back down in South China next week to Guangzhou for baby paperwork, getting a certificate of birth abroad for my kid, and then Hong Kong for some business deals. I think this is why I actually love about doing business in China and Asia is just this intensity and hustling that I get. Okay, and for this show, we have Tiffany Ma, and while I'm here in Shanghai, I went over to her office. She's in fashion e-commerce entrepreneur, and she also works at incubator here in Shanghai, helping companies enter the Chinese market. I asked her some tips and tricks of what she does for Chinese e-commerce space, overviews of the fashion industry, and creativity. So let's listen up. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. I'm in Shanghai, China, in a very rainy afternoon, but I have some sunshine here with me today, Tiffany Ma. Thank you for being here today, Tiffany.
Hi everyone, I'm Tiffany.
Great. We met at some entrepreneur events here in Shanghai, and we keep in touch. Do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Okay, so I work at a tech incubator in Shanghai. We focus on the digital media side, and my part is more digital entertainment consulting. We bring a lot of foreign entertainment and media related companies to China and make strategy for them and also the management.
It's pretty cool. It's my first time to see your office. Maybe we can take some pictures on the show.
Sure.
Cool. What's the name of the company here?
Gravity Asia.
Gravity Asia. Great. And also, we've talked about another project here, which is fashion design, Gutora. It's your personal closet. Do you want to give us some background on that?
Yeah, Gutora is actually my personal project on fashion crowdfunding. So the idea is because the recently Chinese designers suffers a lot from the invading from foreign big luxury brand. And I try to promote their works on our website by they can just posting their sketch on it. And then they raise money. Then they see the popularity of their work. After that, they got the money and they can make it real. So it's not an e-commerce platform. It's more like you get the money and you can buy it online or offline by yourself. I only give you the coupon. So it's that kind of business model.
Okay. And so for Gravity here, what kind of teams or startups do you have? Can you share with us?
Since we have very deep relationship with the entertainment world, now we're focusing more on the video side, which we call the social video campaign. We license from the foreign good content from the good MCN like YouTube, like makers. And then we bring these videos to China and combine them with brand and social media and use it as the marketing tool for all the brands here. So that's what we offer recently. So we now work with a lot of agency. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big office. And so mostly it's marketing people or?
Yeah, for me personally, my background is more like agency. And our team come both from the tech and the marketing entertainment industry.
And then how long have you guys been around this incubator?
Incubator has been here for like 8 years. And it based both in Shanghai and Tokyo. So we have like many business to do with the Tokyo part too. Also the entertainment, bringing the artists to China and make marketing campaign for them.
So then I know a lot of our listeners are the foreigners or Westerners like US or Europe, and they're interested to do business in China. Is there a way they could get involved with it?
Yeah. We would love to like provide the advice and also the management for them once they want to enter the Chinese market, but they don't know what to do and they don't know who to turn to for their business. This is all we can do for them.
And so I know a lot of our listeners always are asking me about e-commerce in China. Maybe first we kind of explain some tips or some high-level ideas for listeners.
Yes. Like, as we all know, doing business in China is totally different from doing business like in States or Europe, first of all, you should know, like, very familiar with all the platforms in China, like Taobao, Jingdong, and actually it's quite convenient for everyone to buy things online in China. And I think it's like very competitive. Many websites come out and they're like IPO in States, like Jingdong recently. So I think it's a very big market here for the e-commerce part.
Exactly. I think, well, Amazon's very famous in the US and of course eBay, but I know a lot of people used to have their own websites in the US, like their own brand domain. Yeah. But I know in China, maybe it's changing, but when I remember people still just buy off Taobao or Tmall, or do you still have your own website?
Yeah, most of the people try to build their presence on Taobao. And recently, the popular one is WeChat. So mm-hmm. WeChat has their own mall, and people use it because it's more trustworthy because the merchandise is recommended by your friend. Actually, I have a friend who is in fashion industry. He tried to sell his online on WeChat, and he sold his t-shirt, like the t-shirt, in 5,000 RMB just because they are friends and they were willing to pay him this money. So he did very well because he just posts some pictures on Moments and saying, "Oh, I'm selling this. This is my own brand. Please support me." And he has like a lot of friends. So they're doing this kind of thing. Because in China, relationship is really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people want to build like really good relationship by supporting your business, kind of like that.
Maybe I'm learning too. So I think it's a little bit annoying. My Moments have clothes and they put a lot of clothes. So then people actually just have to message them, right? There's no e-commerce in Moments, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, like a lot of my friends, they just post pictures of their shirts or they're selling their shoes and it's on the Moments, right? In WeChat, they have like kind of like a social Facebook, but it's not connected to a shopping cart. It's not connected to... You can't buy it, so I guess you have to message the person.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of manual.
But also, do you know the app called Weidian? No. It's developed by WeChat Group, which you can shop in the Weidian, and then you can use the WeChat payment. Okay. So it's kind of like that. The other thing you talk about, the Moment things, is also true. You have to talk with the guy. Maybe he will send you the link to his Taobao shop, or just send you the link to his Weidian, because you can pay directly.
I'm not totally, it's not my list of questions, but I remember I know Taobao, Alibaba and Tencent are kind of big competitors. So one was blocking the other. I think you can't share the Taobao links on the WeChat, or do you remember that? Or I know there's like, they're really fighting a lot. And I think they're the two bigger players, right? Well, some listeners might know BATS or BATS. Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent, and Sina. But yeah, I think in e-commerce now, Tencent's really getting bigger and bigger and competing with Alibaba a lot.
Maybe mainly because the number of users for Tencent, they developed their own shopping mall, the platform, and also their own payment like Caifutong. It's the competitor for Zhifubao. Mm. They're both doing very well here. It's just they have maybe different kinds of users, because Tencent is more young people focused and Taobao is more general. So everyone can shop. Even my mom, my grandmom can shop on Taobao. Yeah.
I don't know much about WeChat e-commerce yet, but I just know that I see a lot of Moments of people sharing their photos of their clothes they're selling. Interesting. Thank you for that. And so in Shanghai, you know, there's a lot of people doing exports, e-commerce, but then there's, of course, tons doing this Chinese Tmall. And can people really do both? Or do you think you should just choose one? Or, where, you know, they're so different, right? And so, you know, my question is, I think it's totally two different worlds to sell internationally and to sell in China.
So more and more foreigners notice Taobao with his low price and high quality. So Taobao realized that they developed foreigners Taobao, like 海外 Taobao. So you can buy on Taobao, then deliver to the foreign countries in a really low price. You know, every Chinese can start their own shops online and they can sell their products to foreign countries directly. It's just how much the delivery fee is. I remember it's like 100 so to deliver to States. And if you want cheaper, there's like 20 RMB, but it took like 3 months, things like that.
You're teaching me a lot today. So I know my friends used to have like Taobao assistants where you could buy from them and they'll buy on Taobao. But now you can, foreigners outside of China can buy on Taobao.
Yes, they can buy it directly.
Okay. And with like a US dollar credit card?
All can do. I think Visa, Zhifubao, you can use it all.
Oh, wow. So then technically somebody could list on Taobao and have like their English and their Chinese.
Yeah, they have English side.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing alley.
Yeah, Taobao really want to expand his business to the global.
And for those listeners, maybe, hopefully this isn't too technical, but it's technically Alibaba is the owner of Taobao. And Alibaba was known as like the everybody buying on factories.
Yeah.
And then Taobao is a little bit newer. It's very established now, but they started investing in it a lot, like 2006 or 2007, maybe. But now it's kind of like more the B2C. Alibaba's more B2B, right? That's how I think of it.
Yeah, Alibaba has both B2B and B2C. So B2B part is more manufacturing things, like you buy a lot of clothes, you buy a lot of furniture from that platform. Taobao is more for B2C part, so they have both the business. Actually, they start from B2B, I think.
So changing up a little bit, I have no clue about fashion. I'm wearing probably like bad fashion clothes right now. And maybe give people, I know Shanghai is like a fashion capital of China and Asia and the world. Maybe give some listeners some ideas of how fashion is here.
I mean, Shanghai might be the fashion center for China, but I don't think it's the fashion center for Asia or the world. Maybe one off, because I know the fashion center in Asia must be the Tokyo. Mm. That's true. And Shanghai is like still developing, and the environment is quite good. For like there's many, many young, talented designers popping out, that's why I want to do the platform. They just lack the opportunity to show the world their work. So there's just recently opened a lot of designers shop in Xintiandi, which is a line of Chinese original designers. I checked it out. It's pretty awesome. And there's many new and very Chinese style clothes, because before Chinese didn't have like certain type of style of fashion, like what kind of clothes Chinese people are wearing. But now it's like gradually developing. I know some of the people in Beijing has already become quite famous in like the global market, like Cassander. So he is focusing on the male designer brand. Yeah, that's what I see here.
Yeah, I've met some other friends of mine that also are Chinese and are doing their own design and creativity. And also the Chinese, I think, government is very excited to try to have more creativity and innovation.
Yeah. Our president is really encouraging the creative industry right now, the cultural and the creative industry.
And it's definitely working, I think. And so then back on your own project, Gutora. I looked at the website again, and I remember we talked about it like when I was here last, like and you were working hard on it. It looks really nice, and so you're working on your designer relationships, or maybe a little bit explaining about it.
Yeah, I know some of the young designers in Shanghai and in Beijing, and I talk with them. They really appreciate the idea of like letting them show the work and helping them to do the crowdfunding. They're actually really looking forward to it, to put their works on my website. So everything is going well with my partners. He is helping me doing all the web building. So yeah, we are in the process of it.
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way. When I remember we met last time. And then it's B2C? People buy one piece or?
Yeah, it's B2C, but we are not selling the clothes. We are not selling the design things. We are just give them the opportunity to show the sketch and know how popular it will be. And then once the deal is done, I will give you the coupon. You can use it online or offline. I don't care, because you didn't buy it from our website. It might be easier for the website to go on.
Interesting. And I'm thinking now, kind of going back to the e-commerce, I don't know if we totally finished, but so I know there's so many foreigners now trying to sell in China, and I'm trying to kind of at least give them some ideas. So then we were talking about Taobao, and then I could then sell. So if I have a new product, I could sell it on Taobao, mm-hmm. in English and in Chinese. I need a Chinese company, right, for that?
No, you don't need anyone can open a shop on Taobao. And for now, it's only Chinese. Like, every Chinese can open a shop. If you want to open it, maybe you can ask your friend to help you. Like, you open it with her.
And then they help do the shipping overseas, or you have to ship overseas?
Taobao has the shipping overseas, but it's just take so long. You can choose your own services, but it might be more expensive.
And then there's markets in Shanghai where people could maybe find sourcing products to sell, or?
I think Shanghai might be a little bit expensive for like sourcing a huge production of the clothing. So yeah, I would recommend you go to some like Suzhou or some like other places other than Shanghai. Shanghai is good for designers work. Shanghai, Beijing, Shenzhen, these big cities are good for the designers work. But if you want to find some cheap and mass production clothing, I think you should check other places out.
Any other tips? So say there's some American entrepreneurs or European entrepreneurs or somewhere, maybe South America, all kinds of people are contacting me about this. What would you kind of tell them to get started? Say they have a source or they have their idea. What would you maybe tell them?
For them, I think they should start with this platform first, like Taobao, then see how the market goes. If it runs well, maybe they can build their own website, because at first you need some streams and you need to let people know your brands. Then you can like go out of Taobao, go out of Jingdong, then start your own website, selling your products directly to Chinese people or the expats here.
That's good advice. I know. I think a lot of foreigners are still stuck on making their own websites. I think it's maybe the Western way is to build a website first. But I agree. Like in China, it's all about using these online markets and leveraging those markets. Okay, cool. And then I really, really appreciate you being on the show. Maybe if people want to contact you or your business, do you want to leave some information for them?
Okay, maybe leave an email address.
Yeah, sure.
So it's tiffany.axinye@gmail.com.
This will be on the show notes too. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we'll put some pictures of the office and some other links too on notes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. I learned a lot, and I'm also happy to have more women on the show. You know, I think globally it's definitely still male-dominated a lot in business, but I think especially in Asia or China, I noticed less women doing business, and I'm glad Tiffany came on the show. She actually put a lot of acronyms and tools that even I was surprised to hear and I'm not familiar with. So I'm learning those as I go. And I'll link up all the notes and the links and the tools on globalfromasia.com/episode39. Till next week, everybody. And let's keep up the international business hustle.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.